And there was a time that I would read this parable and I would focus on the younger son that made his way to the hog pen. And I think that's the first takeaway that we have as Christians, as we, the story's about the younger son and what he did. And that's kind of what we focus on, him going to the hog pen. But then at one point, I began to understand, although the elder son stayed with the father, he had a hog pen in his heart. Every attitude was wrong. Animosity and jealousy was eating him up. And so in this story of the father and his two sons, we see that both sons were very much like you and I. Either a hog pen on the outside or a hog pen on the inside. You're going to have to talk back to me this morning. We cut up. We have problems. We have issues. And then finally, as I read it now, I realize that much like every other area of life, this story is really about the father. It's about the father and how he moves with children that are cutting up left and right. He is so gracious. He is so kind. He is so unassuming that sometimes we see God as a background player, but he's never a background player. It's always by his provision that we live. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11, Jesus is teaching and he says, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him all his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for who you are, Lord. This morning we would ask you to bless those that have given in support of this ministry and will be giving throughout the day. We ask you, Lord, that you return it upon them in such a way that they know that the hand of God is upon their life. Father, I ask you to use me this morning to speak to your people. Help me, oh God, to show the graciousness of God in this parable. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. So in this parable, the Father represents our Heavenly Father. As I said a moment ago, he had two sons, children. As we read the parable, we find out that neither one of his children were right. He had no children that were totally right. Just like our Heavenly Father has no children on the planet that are totally right. Now, you might be better than you were last week or last year or 5 years ago, but in no wise are you and I at a place that we can boast to God about how perfect we are. Can I get an amen? And so we find here that the younger means he's the more immature. He's the more immature of the two brothers. He goes to the father and he makes a statement that's very indicative of modern Christianity. He goes to the father and he says, give me the inheritance that falleth to me. And we've heard so much of those over the past, so much of this over the past two decades where Christians are focused on, give me. We can barely enter into prayer before it's, God, I need, I want, give me. Give me what you promised me, God, I want it now. I don't want to wait until the proper time that you are going to distribute it. I want it right now. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to buy lottery tickets and get it myself. I want it now. See, many times in our immaturity, we think that all of the external things that we see with our eyes, that the life is in those. But a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Jesus is life. When you have him, you can truly have happiness. But when you have all the abundance of things, I've got the car, I've got the house, I've got the newest cell phone, I'm fresh every day in my attire. I've got everything, but inside there's a hole. Because the reality is that man's soul is so big, houses can't fill it up, cars, money, position, status cannot fill it up. Only God Almighty can fill the hole that's in the human spirit. And so this young man, not understanding that, he says, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the father, look at this, he divided them, both of the sons, his living. Now understand what it's saying. He gave to his two sons his living. He didn't have just a little stack of money over here. Here you go. He gave them what was his living. And our Heavenly Father, he gave us his living when he gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He gave us heaven's best. And he gave it for our purpose, so that we would be benefited from it. He gave them all of his living. Oh, but here it is. Now, let me point out something else. Neither one of these sons had nothing of their own. They didn't have their own business. They didn't have their own income. They didn't have anything. They totally lived on the Father's provision. Now, see that in the wider scale, because you and I, we brought nothing to this planet. When we got here, we came with nothing. And everything that we have, everything that we aspire to, it is the Father's provision for us. See, many times we think that, well, you know, I grew up and I went to college and I have an education and now I'm going to go get this kind of house and this kind of life and this kind of a husband or wife, when the reality is you will have nothing at all without the Father's provision. Amen. We have to look to him in everything. See, many times, I've done it myself when I was less mature than I am now, although I'm not mature. But when I was less mature, I thought that I was playing an active role in this. But my active role was in rebellion against God's will for my life. I thought I knew what I wanted. I knew what kind of woman I wanted. I knew what kind of life I wanted. Come on, somebody. I knew what kind of drugs I wanted. I knew how often I wanted to have a Budweiser. I knew all what I wanted, but I was too immature to realize the Father's provision is what sustains me. And if it's not the Father's provision, I put myself in a position of just being anguished over what I want that he won't give me. And that's what provoked this young son. No doubt he just went to the Father. He said, listen, I don't want it from you. Give it to me. I'll handle it for myself. I know what I want. In my mind, I could see this younger son perhaps working on the father's farm or whatever that he had. And, you know, he'd go to town and he'd see the other young men, the other young women, his age group. They were having raves and they was getting drunk and they were having, it seemed like such a good time. And he's stuck in the father's house doing what's right. And I really want to go out there, but something, when you got a good father, there's some things he will not let you partake of. Praise God. When you got a real father and a real mother in the house, they'll say, I don't care what the other kids are doing. In my house, it's like this. This is the way it goes in my house. And so the young boy, he said, give me what you promised me. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. What did he have? I wonder in my mind, what did he gather together? Like his Nikes? And what the father gave him, what else did he have? Because he lived on the father's provision. And listen, it wasn't a life of a servant or a slave. He was the master's child. That's what we have to understand. We're not just anybody on this planet. We belong to the king. Hallelujah. We're the king's kids. Glory to God. He gathered all together and went into a far country. Now get this. When you leave God's house, Let me make sure I say this correctly. Everything that you and I have, we have through the provisions that were provided for us at Calvary's cross. My God shall meet all of your need in accordance to his own riches and glory by what Christ Jesus did at the cross. You can't have anything from God except to come through the finished work of Calvary. And so it says here then that he took his journey into a far country. He moved away from the provision that God has. See, I've seen this throughout my time as a pastor over and over again. I've seen young men and women grown right up in this church. I saw them grow into young adults in this church. And as soon as they left their parents' house, I'm gone. And years later, you see them come back, smelling like hogs, because they've been out there in the world. And they found out the world is not what it looks like. Now, the world can make itself look very attractive. I don't know if they have these anymore. They used to have all the time when you drive down the highway, the liquor advertisements on the billboards. and you see the glass, woman's pretty hands, all manicured, her nails are done, holding up the glass of Courvoisier. Few cubes of ice in it. It looks like, oh man, that is the life. Look at her nails. Never mind, she's holding poison in her hand. Never mind the offer. The same thing with cigarettes. You'd see them on the television commercials. And it looks so enticing. Never mind that it's poison that you're taking into your body. And sometimes we can look at what the world is experiencing and we can look at what they're doing and all we see is the glamour part of it. We don't realize there's a hardcore addiction right behind the veil. But as long as we're in the Father's house, the Holy Spirit can speak to us and not before the whole world, speak right into your heart and see, thou doest not. Don't go that direction. And in our immaturity, sometimes we think that we made that decision. We think that it was our wisdom and our knowledge that guided us in that right path. But in fact, it was the Holy Spirit who speaks to people. Now, the Holy Spirit can speak to you anywhere. But here's the thing. Get this. Because I've heard it too many times. Well, Holy Spirit speaks to me. Well, yes, if you're a Christian, of course he does. But when he's speaking to you, it's filtered through your mind. But when he speaks to you through me, there's no filter. I say everything that you really didn't want to hear. And not because I know your situation, simply because I'm not concerned about your weaknesses. I just say it like it is. And so when you're in the house of God under a spirit-filled preacher, the Holy Spirit can go right to your heart. Don't worry, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Don't care. Just come on, we'll all make it together. But the Holy Spirit can go right into your heart and touch that area that you may be struggling in. So anyway, he left the Father's provision in a far country, got far away from God. And he wasted his substance with riotous living. How many's ever just been out there and all your money just seemed like you got none? I remember as a young, actually I had just gotten saved. But just prior to getting saved, I was a programmer and I was making a lot of money back in those days. For a single guy, I was single at the time, just had a brand new apartment, very nice. Just bought a brand new car because I just got a large promotion on my job. About, I think it was like a 25% increase. I mean, everything was wonderful. But I was always broke. All that money and was always broke. I'm not talking about just, I don't have any extra money. I'm talking about float a check on Wednesday to have gas to get there on Friday. Y'all don't know nothing about that? Am I the only one that... I mean, I had it down to a science. I knew then, back then, the ATM machines, they cut it off now. But you can make a deposit, I mean, a withdrawal on Thursday night, and they won't catch you being short till Friday. Just poor. But I was making a lot of money, plenty of money. And then I got saved, and I started going to the Father's house. Oh, this is going to be good. And I don't know anything about church, never been in church in my life. I started going to church, and the preacher from the platform, he said, pay your tithes. I said, brother, what's a tithe? I had no idea. And the man beside me told me, that's 10% of your gross income. I said, what? You have to give that to God? He said, yeah, brother, if you want to be blessed. And I just got saved. I'm like, okay, if that's what it takes, let's do it. And I'm not making this up. I already didn't have no money because I just got saved. But I gave God my grocery money. I was single dude. I can do it. I gave God, I wrote a check on the grocery money. I paid my tithe. And for the next 2 weeks, I went to bed with a potato, a baked potato, and some margarine because butter's too expensive. And that's what I would eat. I'd crawl in bed with my baked potato and my Bible, and that's how I went to sleep every night. It is one of the highlights of my salvation. 2 weeks later, I went to church. And the pastor walked towards me with what looked like a check in his hand. He said, Brother Lincoln, the bank wouldn't accept this. So now I had to buy the check back. But see, anytime you're away from God and not living in God's provision by God's dictates, you're always going to lessen your experience. It's all going to be less than it should be. I mean, you may not just go straight to hell, but there'll be hell in your life. And let me say that if there is hell in your life, it's because you're too far away from God. Because he's the Prince of Peace. And when he steps in, no, everything's not perfect, but there's no hell in your house. You can have peace. So this young boy, he goes into a far country, and there he wastes his substance with riotous living. When you get away from God, your lifestyle will change. You see, one thing about being in the house of God, walking close with God, he puts constraints on your lifestyle. Okay, I'll make it more plain. He'll tell you you can't sleep around anymore. He'll tell you you can't smoke the reefer anymore. When I got saved, I mean in the first moments of time, he had me emptying sleeves of cocaine down the sink. He said, no more. Quarter pounds of reefer down the toilet stool, no more. I had an album collection that we used to have albums back then before CDs. An album collection I had built for, I don't know, 15, 18 years. I had everything. I had all the good Motown stuff. God said, go throw it in the dipsy dumpster, which I did. But when you get away from God, your lifestyle begins to change as you begin to become conformed to this world because there's no countering influence. You'll start walking like the world, living like the world. You'll start talking like the world. The first time you go to happy hour, you just say, I'm going, but I'm not going to drink anything. After a while, they got to pull you off your coworkers. And there he wasted his substance, all his money with riotous living. And when he had, verse 14, and when he had spent all, isn't it amazing how God doesn't just step in right away? We can begin to be going off course just a little bit, and God, at first, he might not even say nothing at all. Because if he said something right away, we would lie about it and say, well, I wasn't going that way. I wasn't going to do that. But when he had spent all, when it was all gone, all the inheritance, when he had messed himself all the way up, no way to deny it, That's when reality began to set back in. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Now get this. Why did the famine not arise while he still had money? For the same reason that there was happened to be a fish right there by the boat when they threw Jonah out. The scripture says God had prepared a fish, which Jesus said was a whale. It was prepared by God. He knew that on this day, on this year, Jonah was going to get thrown out of this ship, and he made a fish all the way back at creation that had another fish and another fish and another fish until there was a whale there at this particular time. And so when this young boy, when he had spent all on riotous living, God had already prepared a famine. Now, famine doesn't mean there's no food. A famine means that you can't afford it. It means there's a scarcity. And so he caught this young man between a rock and a hard place. How many's ever been there? You keep tripping. God can catch you right there between a rock and a hard place. He had no money left, and everything that was eatable was too much for him. His foolishness was made apparent before his face. And he began to be in want. Now get this. When he left the father's house, the day after he left the father's house, his pockets were bulging with the inheritance. He was doing good. Everything was wonderful. He probably thought in his mind, man, this was a good move. This was a good move. I don't have pops telling me anymore. I got cash. Man, this was a good move. But understand something. The grace of God is a consumable. You have to keep getting more grace to be in grace. Because we consume grace. It's a consumable. And this boy, he got away from the father's provision, and his grace, his inheritance, began to wear thin. See, the same thing can happen to us, saints. I have no doubt there are people here in this room watching across the webcast right now. You have disconnected yourself from the place that you should be in God. And you may already be experiencing a downgrade in your lifestyle. You may be experiencing a degrading, a deterioration of what you're used to. And the answer is not another second job with Mary Kay. No, the answer is not get a side hustle somewhere else. The answer is get back in the perfect will of God, where the provision of God will keep you and the grace of God will strengthen you. And he began to be in want. And he went, here it is. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, this is the first move that we make when we get in trouble. We look for somebody to help us. We resist coming back to God and just saying, I repent, I was wrong, it's two left shoes, I'm just wrong. He said, let me lean on the arm of flesh. Let me go find somebody else that can help me. Saints, God is our helper. He said, no matter what you've done, you can come boldly to the throne of grace, throne of grace, throne of grace, unmerited divine assistance. You can always come back to God. And this parable is a picture. There's no excuse for this younger son. His immaturity is not an excuse. When he came and said, give me the portion of my inheritance that followed to me, what he was saying, I don't care whether you're dead or not, pops, I want my money. And I want it now. I have no regard as to whether you're dead or not. Give me mine. And imagine the hurt of the father's heart that's not mentioned here. Imagine the hurt of his heart. When his son has no regard for him at all, I just want what you've accumulated through the years because I'm going to go start my own thing. And imagine God's heart when you and I act in our immaturity. Just because he doesn't say anything doesn't mean it hasn't, that it's without impact. I shudder as I look back over my years as a Christian at some of the things that I've done and some of the mistakes that I've made. And God, in his graciousness, he helped me to work through those, and he never accused me. He never degraded me. He just always gave me that motivation. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. He never brings it up. He never said, remember when you did? I bring it up sometimes because I need to know, don't do that again. And in this parable, we find the father never really shares any hurt whatsoever. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. And the citizen sent this Jewish boy into the field to feed the swine. Now, you know, Jews don't mess with pigs because it's not kosher. And so for this young boy to get sent to feed the swine was the deepest humiliation he could have incurred. See, it wasn't the father's will for him to deal with this. And our Father, our Heavenly Father, it's not his will for us to be degraded, to be stripped of our dignity. It's not his will for us to go through hurtful situations like this. But many times it's our personal rebellion. Amen. Have you ever cried so hard before God your throat hurts? You get a big lump right here. I do not enjoy that. I mean, I'll repent any time that I know that I'm wrong, but in repenting, it pulls too much up. It can be painful, physically painful sometimes to cry that hard. The mistake this immature boy made is he thought that his father had deposited something there in terms of the inheritance that he can go his own merry way now and live free of the father's will. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But that's always wrong. God spoke through Jeremiah. And he said, my people have committed two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Now, when you got a fountain, it means you can drink all you want to. The fountain is still more bubbling up all the time. So the first evil was we've forsaken to some degree God, the fountain of living water. And the second is we've hewn ourselves out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. A cistern is like a bowl that you catch your rainwater in, and it has a limited capacity. The inheritance he got from his father, it had a limited capacity. And when it ran out, the provision was gone. Verse 16 says, and he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He had to go through all of this to prove his own inabilities. You see, unless we prove that we're failures, we think we're giants. Until we prove that we're unable to think right thoughts and to move in consistently right directions, until it's proven to us, we think we're spiritual giants. Man, one day you'll be like me. I would hope that you'd never be like me. Be like Jesus. And when he came to himself, meaning that he had a moment of spiritual clarity. And saints, that's something that church attendance provides for you that you may not know the value of. Things become clear. Spiritually speaking, things become clear and suddenly you can see very clearly. But as you move away and stay away, the fog begins to come back in. The darkness begins to come back in. And I know I've heard it. Brother, I'm saved just like you are. Well, I get that. But the darkness will move back on any human being that is not edified. Look at John the Baptist. You and I both together can't stand in John the Baptist's shadow a mile back. This man was greater than both of us. But when he was isolated in the prison, he began to wonder. God showed him the dove coming down on Jesus at the baptism, but he began to wonder. And he sent the messengers to Jesus, are you he or should we look for another? Brother, you were the herald. You were the one that introduced him. But once you isolate yourself, once you're moved away from an edifying impact, the darkness will move back in. He came to himself and he said, how many hired servants, just slaves, and my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. Now, I want to show you something here. It's taken me 28 years to read this correctly. The Bible said he came to himself and he said, I'll return to my father's house. There's plenty of food there. He still didn't care about the father. He cared about the father's provision. He just wanted more. I'm hungry. I want food. I don't want the love, the grace, the provision, the kindness of my father. I just want to fill my belly. See, saints, as human beings, all of us are immature. And it's not until things become so clear that's been in the Bible the whole time. That's not new verses. That this young boy still care after this ordeal and going back home in his right mind, but yet he still had no regard for the father. I've got to hurry here. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him. Now get this now. The old man is probably sitting on the porch and looks out across that field in front of his house. And no doubt he had been there many times wondering about his boy. He didn't go after him, but no doubt many times wondering. And this particular day, he looks across the field and he notices the walk. He notices the gait. That looks like my son. When he was yet afar off. And the father didn't just sit there and wait. Well, let's see what he's got to say when he gets here. The father ran out to meet him. There's nowhere else in the Bible that you see a picture of God getting in a hurry except this parable. He ran. And the Bible says the father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, the son didn't care about the father when he got the inheritance. He didn't care about the father when he spent the inheritance. And all he wanted was a meal when he came back. Oh, sometimes you and I as Christians, we can be so wrong. But I want to look at the grace of God. Look at the heart of God. I don't care that you're wrong. I love you. And he told him immediately, he said, this is my son. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. Put a robe on his back. My son that was dead has returned back home. Sometimes we can act so foolishly. We don't try to do it. It's just what we are. We never try to act in a way that is offensive to God. It's just what we are. But again, what I want you to focus on, look at the grace of God. Look at how loving he is. Look at how... He didn't accuse the boy. Boy, you've been in that hog pen. You smell like hogs, man, because the boy smelled like hogs. He had hog mud all over him. But the father didn't focus anything on that. He just lavished him with love. Says that's the picture of our Heavenly Father right now. You and I, we can spend time as the younger son did. He spent time in the hogs in the hog pen. The older son, if you continue reading this, you'll find out he had a hog pen in his heart. And the father dealt with him just as graciously as he dealt with the younger son. That's a picture of the love, the mercy, the kindness, the compassion of God. Not because it's who God is trying to be. It's just simply who he is. Hallelujah. Be encouraged this morning. Be encouraged this morning. You may have had grave missteps. You may not be where you ought to be in God. You may be far from God. But be encouraged this morning. It just takes one moment of clarity for you to come to yourself, and God treats you like if you had never left. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you all over the room if you would bow your head. Father, we just thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Lord, you're so kind. You're so long-suffering. You're so gentle. Father, if we had 10,000 tongues, we wouldn't be able to express the goodness of God. And we thank you today, Lord, that you gave us this important parable that we might see ourselves and that we might see you in response. And although you take a background position in virtually every area of our lives, God, you deserve the best. And help us, oh God, to bring you to the foreground. Help us to bring you to the foreground all over the room. Why don't you just lift your hands to heaven right where you're sitting? Just lift your hands to heaven. Say, God, if I have been offensive to you, I apologize. Lord, my ways, my thoughts, my attitudes, and my actions sometimes give way, Lord, my immaturity. But God, I come to you this morning and I ask you for more grace. Give me the clarity I need to come closer to you. Father, right now in Jesus' name. All over the room, just whatever is in your heart, just bring it to God right now. He's a merciful and a kind and a loving God. No matter what the brokenness is, no matter what the sinful activity is, you can give it to God right now. He loves you. He loves you. As you turn to him, he's running spiritually to fall upon your neck, to have compassion upon you. Just give it to God. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We deserve nothing. You give us everything, not based on who we are, but you do it based on who you are. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God is good. Wonderful, wonderful. Say, how many got something out of the service today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.